Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is our text for this morning. And this, my friends, is the words where you hear the name that blesses. Please be seated. A blessed new year to you all, and on this first day of 2017, it is right and proper that you are blessed. Blessed by the name that is above every name. But before we get there, let's go back some years, many years for some of you, not so many years for some of you. Let's go back to the time of your birth. Now, none of us remember when we were born. As a matter of fact, you and I, we do not have a choice in whom our parents are. It is God who makes that choice for us. It is God who actually does all the work for us. Even though we were born of a woman and our mother and father were called by God to care for us, they were called to work for us. They provided a home for you. They provided food for you. And yes, when you became dirty, on the outside anyway, they would change your diaper. When you were sick or in anguish, it was mom or dad who comforted you. It was mom and dad who protected you. And with all this work that mom and dad has done for you, did they ever give you a bill? Did they ask for any kind of repayment whatsoever? Now, we know that in this world there are children who do not have parents. Parents in the biblical sense. Parents who do not care for them. Parents who do not work for them. Parents who do not provide a home, food, or change their diapers. Parents who do not comfort or protect. And yet, we know that it was still by God's purpose and His design that these children are born. You, dear ones, are members of a blessed family. And since you are members of a blessed family, you have a name. You were given a name at your birth, a given name, but you also inherited a name, your family name. In some cultures, the family name is of great importance. As a matter of fact, when a wife is married, in some cultures, they do not change their family name. And for us Americans, for we Westerners, that's a little confusing at times. You see, they keep the name that they are given. The point is this, dear ones, we are all given a name, and you and I were also given the name here at the font. Here we were given a new birth. We were given a new name. Baptism is our new birth. Paul writes to Titus and says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the purpose, to the hope of eternal life." These words sound very familiar, don't they? Very close to what we heard in the reading of the epistle this morning. In other words, just like you did not work to be born, neither did you do any work when you were reborn, when you were given a new name, when you were given newness of life. In other words, dear ones, at your baptism, it was totally God doing all the work. And it's according to His goodness and loving kindness that saved you. Not our works, but by His mercy. By His washing of regeneration and renewal, this is baptism. The Lord washed you. Oh no, the Lord didn't change your diapers. He didn't wash you on the outside. No, the Lord has washed you on the inside. He has given you a spiritual cleansing. He has washed away the stain of original sin that you and I inherited from our earthly father. But now our heavenly Father inherits us into his kingdom, and this according to the hope of eternal life. This by his grace and mercy. Not only did the Lord wash each and every one of us, he's also here present today to comfort each of you. He comforts you by the word, the very word that has just been read to you, the word that you're hearing now, and the words that you will hear spoken here before the altar very soon. Not only does the Lord comfort you, but just as your mom and dad fed you, so the Lord also feeds you today. My dear ones, he gives you the feast, the foretaste of the feast to come. The greater feast, the greatest of feasts, his body and blood, the sacrament of the altar. No, God didn't send you a bill. Rather, he sent the bill to his son. It is Jesus who willingly paid your bill with his most holy and precious blood. We didn't receive the bill from the Father. If we did, we would have no hope in paying it, for we cannot repay the debt of our sin, the sin that you and I commit daily and much. We can't possibly pay for it. So therefore, God in his grace and mercy sent his son, born of a virgin, and a man who eventually went to the cross to die for your sin and my sin. Jesus footed the bill. Jesus paid the debt. It is Jesus who has redeemed us. And because Jesus did this great work right here, he has given to us his righteousness. And then God the Father, your Father in heaven, claimed you as an heir according to the hope of eternal life. All this began right here, dear friends, at the font. It began here because he was willing to place his name upon you. Peter writes, baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels and authorities and powers having been subjected to him. It is Jesus who has saved us, and it is God himself who has saved us and washed us and claimed us as his dear daughter or son. Thanks be to God. We heard the same in our text this morning in the epistle. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, dear ones, here at the font is a work that is so, so important. Not only are we washed in water, and not only do we hear the word, no, you actually put on Christ. Christ begins living in you. Why would any Christian, why would any person who confesses that Jesus is their Lord, would not subject themselves to baptism? Scripture is clear. Baptism now saves us. And here at the font, we are blessed. God gives his blessings to us by putting his name onto us. And not only onto us, but actually into us. Now, I know last night there were many celebrations. It is quite obvious to me that there were some celebrating going on last night. Some more than others, since they're not here. Yet, today, and every Sunday, and each time we gather together, my dear brothers and sisters, there's an even greater celebration each time we gather together. Today, you celebrate in word. You know very well that as you hear the word, you are being blessed, for his name is being placed upon you once again. You hear them quite often, but yet many people, many Christians, really aren't paying close attention to the very last words spoke to them in the worship service. The words that you just heard before this sermon, and the words that you will hear again right here from God's altar. Yes, these words were given to Moses. This is important for us. These words didn't come from Moses. They didn't come from Aaron. They didn't come from any man. The words that were given to Moses that he was to give to Aaron and his sons came from God himself. And these words were to be used by the priest, by the clergy of Israel, to place God's name unto his people. God's command was to use his name so that his name would bless them. And his called pastors today have the very same authority. Yes, pastors are called and ordained to say exactly what God told Moses and Aaron and all of his sons, to bless his people by placing his name upon them. Just like Moses and Aaron, your pastor stands before you today, his gathered children, his gathered congregation, and dear little lambs, you will hear your pastor use the very commands that God gave to Moses and to Aaron and his sons. The vestments that are worn to indicate that your pastor is not speaking by his own authority. This stole is a burden about my neck, dear ones. It is a burden, for it is a burden that is given to me, called, yes, ordained and placed upon me, to use God's words, never my words. I could stand here and talk to you all day long about what I think and what I do, and that will not save any of you. It is of no benefit. Placing my name on you does absolutely nothing for you. Therefore, these vestments prove to you and show you that your pastor is a man who must speak, act, give, and serve exactly as God commands. And by his power and by his authority, that's exactly what I do. And that's exactly what I will do. Therefore, each pastor, each faithful man who is called into the office of the holy ministry and wears this stole must do exactly as Jesus commands him. Scripture is clear. Scripture is crystal clear. And that when we do not do what God says, not only does the pastor suffer, but his little lambs will also suffer. The Holy Gospel is not something that the pastor dreams up or thinks up. No, the Holy Gospel is the sweetness that is given to each of you, given to you by God himself. The law itself, now the law is very easy to preach. It's very easy for anyone to stand here and tell you how bad you are, or to tell you how bad I am. That would be very easy to do. Yet, we are also commanded to tell the truth, to tell the truth about the law. And not many people like hearing that they are sinners, that they transgress God's law, that they cannot save themselves, that they cannot work their way into heaven. People don't like hearing that today. They like hearing, basically, they like being told that, oh, you're a pretty good lady, or you're a pretty good fella. And that is not the law. It's glossing over the abhorrent truth that you and I have rebelled against God, and we do not deserve. We do not deserve the name that is placed upon us. But in the Holy Gospel, we hear that it was Jesus born of a woman again, and as a man went to this cross and died for you, and that because he had done this great work as commanded by his Father, the great exchange had happened. You were given his righteousness, and he took your sin. He who knew no sin became sin for you and for me. And because Jesus was willing, because he was willing to freely shed his blood for each and every one of you, you, at your baptism, and as you are here today, you are named. You are given the name that is above every name. You, dear ones, are Christians. Yes, Christian. A name that means something vastly important to each of us, anyway it should. For that name is there, Christ. Christ in. Christ living in you and working through us as we proclaim his word and shine his light into this dark world. Here at the font, here today, once again, the name is placed upon you. And that name is for a purpose. It's just not words that are said at the end of the service signifying that, well, you can go home now and everything's hunky-dory. No. No, when you hear the benediction, dear ones, this is what's important. You're receiving the name that's above every name. It's a name that blesses you. It's a name that keeps you. It's a name that shines on you. It's a name that is gracious to you. And it is a name that is lovingly protecting you. It is a name that gives you peace. Not as peace as the world gives, but the peace that has been won for you by your Savior, Jesus Christ, your Lord. That's why, dearly loved ones, that's why it's so, so important for you to always remain until you hear the peace of the Lord, and for you to hear the benediction. For as you hear these words, you're being reminded once again of God's great love, grace, and mercy for each and every one of you. That the Lord blesses you. He blesses you by placing His name upon you. And since you bear God's name, He will bestow freely to you His forgiveness, His grace, His mercy, and life everlasting. So shall you put my name upon them, as God told Moses, and I will bless them. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.